Lady Astor presents The Screen Guild Players. The Lady Astor Screen Guild play tonight, Heaven Can Wait. The starring players...
This is Walter Pidgeon.
This is Susan Hayward.
And this is John Carradine.
Tonight, Lady Astor presents the Screen Guild players in 20th Century Fox's gay comedy of matrimony, In the Now and the Hereafter, Heaven Can Wait. It stars Susan Hayward as Martha, Walter Pidgeon as Henry, John Carradine as his satanic majesty, King Lucifer, and Arthur Q. Bryan as the assistant devil. The Lady Astor Screen Guild players in Heaven Can Wait.
All up, please. Sub-basement level, auditorium of Whack Mass, executive offices of the powers of darkness, main entrance to the bottomless pits of hell, 30 cent tours full inferno, private apartments of the Prince of Darkness, the Archfiend, the father of all evil, his satanic majesty, King Lucifer. All up, please. Watch your step.
Our housing problem is simply terrific. Really, I sometimes think the whole world is going to, coming to hell. Do sit down, Mr.
Van Cleve. Henry Van Cleve, Your Majesty.
Have you a reservation?
No, you see, I didn't know I was coming until Tuesday. I passed on at 9:36 in the evening.
Mm-hmm. But you should have called at once. The number is right in the directory. Mephistopheles, 0000.
Well, I wanted to stay around a day or so, see what my relatives would say about me, you know. They said only the kindest and most generous things. That's how I knew I was dead.
Well, frankly, Mr. Van Cleve, I shouldn't even consider your application for admittance.
Oh, Your Majesty.
However, I like your appearance. You haven't the air of the casual run-of-the-mill sort of sinner.
Ah, thank you very much.
So, if you can meet our requirements, we'll be only too glad to accommodate you. Would you be kind enough to mention, for instance, some outstanding crime that you've committed?
Well, I'm afraid I haven't committed any
crime. Really? Oh, in that case, sir.
But I can truthfully assure you that my whole existence has been one continuous misdemeanor.
My dear Mr. Van Cleve, a passport to Hades is not issued on generalities.
But if you'll only listen to me for 5 minutes, my troubles have been with women.
Oh? Beautiful blondes.
And gorgeous redheads.
Any brunettes?
I'm afraid so.
Well, then, give out, my boy. Give out. Start at the beginning. Who was the first woman in your life?
My nurse. At the age of 14 months, I used to pinch her.
Where?
In the pantry. She used to meet the butler there, and, well, I was jealous. Then, all through my boyhood, I had a succession of girls my own age.
Go on.
When I kissed them, I used to drop a beetle or a grasshopper down their backs. You'd be surprised at the results.
You don't say. Wait, I must make a note of that.
Then, through prep school and college, there were chorus girls, cafe singers, trapeze artists, dancers, etc., you know.
Yes.
And then, on my 26th birthday, I met Martha.
Oh, Martha was something extra special?
She was an angel.
Oh.
She was walking down Fifth Avenue, and I followed her. She turned in at a bookshop. Dropping my hat and coat on a chair near the door, I posed as a clerk and spoke to her. May I help you, miss?
Thank you. I'd like to, haven't you any women clerks?
Oh, unfortunately not. But you might feel a little easier if I mention that I am the one who is usually chosen by the management to handle the more delicate situations. As a matter of fact, they call me the bookworm's little mother.
Well, perhaps I'd better go to some other shop.
Oh, no, please. My employer is watching, and if he sees no, if he should see me losing a customer, it might cost me my job.
Oh, well, perhaps I can buy some other book.
But why another book? You must have confidence in your book salesman. Regard him as your literary confessor. Now, please, speak freely.
Well, the title of the book is...
Yes?
It's over there between To Have and To Hold and When Knighthood Was in Flower.
Between, yes, here we are. The Bride's Guide, or How to Make Your Husband Happy.
Thank you. How much is it?
I probably should apologize. I imagine I should have called you, madam.
Well, no, it's still Miss.
But not for long, I presume.
That's quite right. How much is the book?
We would be only too glad to charge it now if you will be kind enough to give me your name and address and telephone number.
Well, I haven't much time right now, so please will you just tell me how much is The Bride's Guide, if you don't mind.
But I do mind. Look, just imagine that I'm the man you're going to marry.
I couldn't imagine any such thing.
Well, what's the matter with me?
I'd rather not discuss it. I just came in here to buy a book, that's all.
I understand that, but just for the sake of argument, let's say that we're getting married. Believe me, I don't want anybody to tell you how to make me happy.
All I want is a book.
The greatest gift you could bring me is to be just as you are. Adorable.
Just one book.
Stubborn, eh?
And if you don't change your attitude, I shall complain to your employer.
I'll let you in on a little secret. I'm not employed here.
What?
I'm not a book salesman.
Then what are you?
I'm a man hopelessly in love. I followed you here in the store.
The very idea.
And if you had walked into a restaurant, I would have become a waiter. If you had walked into a burning building, I would have become a fireman. If you had walked...
Mm-hmm. Very interesting, Mr. Van Cleve. Tell me, where did she walk?
She walked out of the store and I followed her and she called a policeman. Now, while I was explaining, she disappeared, Your Majesty.
Oh, come, my boy. What the heck? Just call me Satan. Did you see the young lady again?
Yes, that same evening at my birthday party, as a matter of fact. It was there that I learned her name was Martha and that she was engaged to my cousin Albert.
I hope you're not wasting my time and that this fable has no immoral. Go on, Mr. Van Cleve.
Well, finding out she was engaged to Albert was a bit of a shock, but later that evening I went into the library and found Martha there alone. I didn't wish to frighten her, so I just walked right over and kissed her.
Please, you must never do anything like that again.
Cousin Martha.
I'm not your cousin Martha yet. I hardly know you. Why, even Albert, my own fiance, never dared to...
Kiss you?
Of course he's kissed me. We're engaged. But he never kissed me like that.
By the way, do you love Albert?
I'm marrying him.
Are you?
He's a fine man. He's good. He has integrity. He's full of high ideals.
He's full of a lot of things.
I'm going to make him a good wife. Yes, I am. There'll never be a day in his life that he'll regret marrying me. And if you ask me one more question, I'll leave this room and never come back again.
Darling,
never.
Darling.
I hate you.
Oh, sweetheart.
It's dreadful of you to put your arms around me like this.
Dearest.
And suppose Albert should come in and find you kissing me.
Oh, well, if you...
Oh, but he won't. Not for ages. He's playing pinochle with Father.
My pretty one, you are going to marry me.
But I hardly know you.
You don't need to know anything when you love.
You're mad.
Love doesn't need any introduction.
You don't know what you're saying. You must be out of your mind.
You love or you don't love.
Aren't you ashamed? Trying to steal the fiancé of your own cousin.
Do you love me or don't you?
Don't causing a family scandal.
Do you love me?
Why did you ever come into my life?
Do you love me?
Yes, I wish I were dead.
Darling!
You're the most odious person I ever met. You've ruined my life. I'll never be able to look Albert in the face again.
Considering Albert's face, you're a very lucky girl. Come on now, pack your bags and we'll elope tonight.
Tonight?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you beast, you cad, you fiend, you darling.
Mm-hmm. Not bad. Not bad at all, Mr. Cleve. We always have a warm spot in our Hades for a young devil like you.
Oh, thank you, Satan.
You followed the old routine, of course. Fake marriage license and mock parson.
No. Martha and I were really married.
Huh? Oh, but you made her very unhappy. You beat her regularly.
No, I was very kind. You see, I loved her.
Disgusting. But continue.
Well, we had a child, a boy. My home life was so perfect that I had no interest in other women, with the exception of Mimi, Rosalind, Elise, Constance, and Veronica.
Aha!
It was on my 36th birthday and our 10th wedding anniversary that I learned Martha had deceived me.
No.
Yes. After leading me to believe that she hadn't been jealous all those years, she up and left me.
Dear me, dear me.
I followed her, of course. She went to her father's house. In all the years I had known her, I never had any idea that Martha was so stubborn and so uncooperative.
Henry, I know your every move. Which role are you going to play for me now? The outraged husband? The poor, weeping little boy? Or the strong, silent, wounded lion who's too proud to explain what happened in the jungle last night?
So I'm a fake. I'm false. I'm cheap.
Oh, Henry, please.
I know I've brought you nothing but unhappiness.
You know that's not true.
So we did have some good times together.
Ah, some wonderful times.
Then what do you want? What did I do? Even a murderer has a right to defend himself. You can't
hang a man without evidence, I know.
If I only knew what particular thing is in your mind. Have you seen Aunt Bonetta recently?
Of course I have.
Ah, well, that explains it.
Explains what?
Oh, I didn't mention it to you before because it was so unimportant. When she saw me, I was having tea at the plaza, and at the table with me was a very pretty young woman. But believe me, there was nothing to it, Martha. I would have come to you and told you myself, but...
But you didn't want to make me uncomfortable, even for one second.
That's right, darling.
It won't work, Henry. And besides, Aunt Minetta hasn't said one word about you in the plaza.
Ah. Martha, this is our wedding anniversary. Do you realize that 10 years ago today, I was almost as much in love with you as I am right now?
There you go again.
All right, darling, I give up. I know it's all over, but before we say goodbye forever, I want to give you a little remembrance I bought for our anniversary. Here you are. Open it up.
Thank you, Henry.
It isn't much. Only cost $10,000, but I thought you could wear it around the house.
Oh, it's such a lovely bracelet.
Do you really like it?
Oh, yes. It must be much prettier than the $500 one you bought for the other girl.
Yes, it's much... What other girl?
You left Tiffany's bill on your bureau.
Oh, but...
There were two bracelets, Henry. This one at $10,000 and another one at $500.
Oh, so that's what you've been so upset about. I knew it was just a misunderstanding. Sweetheart, I'm so sorry you had to go through all this only because the jeweler made a mistake. That's what the whole thing is, a mistake. I never bought that $500 bracelet.
Well, Tiffany's never made a mistake on our bill before.
So you don't believe me, huh?
No, dear.
All right, I'll prove it to you. Hello? Get me Gramercy 5678, please. Thank you. Oh, darling, I love you. You're the most beautiful, adorable thing in the world. And do you really believe there is any woman good enough to win you away from me? Hello? Hello, let me speak to Mr. Tiffany, please. And if there were such a woman... You think she'd only be worth a $500 bracelet?
You're doing very well, dear.
Hello, Mr. Tiffany? This is Henry Van Cleve. Now, listen carefully, please. I'm sitting here with my wife. She's sitting right next to me, as a matter of fact. We're having a little friendly discussion. Now, do you remember that $10,000 bracelet I bought for her? Yes. Well, there's a $500 bracelet on the same bill. Now, I've tried to explain to her that I never bought a $500 bracelet, that it's a mistake on your part, and, well, she simply won't believe me. Now, I want you to tell her the truth. Here you are, Martha. Mr. Tiffany will tell you now.
Thank you, Henry. Hello, Mr. Tiffany. I do appreciate your being willing to lie for my husband, but it won't work. Goodbye, Mr. Tiffany.
Martha.
Henry, this must be a terrific surprise to you, but I don't believe one word you say. I'm through even listening to you. Goodbye, Henry. It's all over.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in just a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
Now that spring is bursting into color and beauty all about us, wouldn't you like to give your face the breath of springtime, too? Wouldn't you like to see your skin waken to new life and beauty? See your whole appearance take on a clean, young freshness, like sunshine after rain? Then try my fascinating new powder shade, Bridal Pink. I'm so enthusiastic about this new shade that I just can't say enough about it. Bridal Pink is not just another shade of pink powder. In fact, it doesn't look pink at all on your skin. It has a certain elusive quality that's almost impossible to put into words. The best way I can describe it is that it makes you look as though you've just returned from a long, refreshing vacation. And Lady Esther Bridal Pink isn't for just one particular type of skin coloring like other powder shades. It's blended an entirely new way to be flattering to four basic skin types. It doesn't matter whether your hair is blonde, brunette, auburn, or brown. Whatever your hair, your eyes, your coloring, bridal pink will instantly give life and tone to your entire appearance. It takes all the guesswork out of choosing a powder shade, for you can't possibly put bridal pink on your face without looking younger and lovelier, without looking a lot more attractive. Why, even when you don't feel well, your friends will compliment you, will tell you how wonderful you look when you wear Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder. Your druggist may be sold out of bridal pink, but ask him to order it for you or try some other store. Be sure to accept no other shade if you want to see an instant, fascinating change in your appearance.
And now, Lady Esther presents the second act of Heaven Can Wait, starring John Carradine, Susan Hayward, Walter Pidgeon, and Arthur Q. Bryan.
Hello. Mephistopheles 0000. No, waiter, you can't speak to the devil. He's in confluence with a Mr. Henry Van Cleef. Well, I can't disturb him till it's time for his afternoon brimstone. You might try with a waiter.
For a moment, I was practically speechless, Mr. Satan. You can't imagine what it does to a man when his wife calls his innocent prevarication a premeditated lie.
Ah, yes, Mr. Van Cleef. I well remember the night I took one of the Furies boating on Stygian Creek. But that's another story. Please go on, Mr. Van Cleef.
I can still see the scorn on Martha's face and hear her voice as she said those terrible words.
Henry, this must be a terrific surprise to you, but I don't believe one word you say. I'm through even listening to you. Goodbye, Henry. It's all over.
Martha.
I mean it.
All right, darling. If that's the way you want it, don't think of me. Don't let my broken life tarnish one small moment of your future happiness. I'm sure you'll find someone else who'll really be worthy of you. I suppose you want a divorce.
I see no other way.
Very well. What about our son?
Well, naturally, I want him.
And I think you should have him. The boy should be kept away from me.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it that way.
Oh, yes, I'm a bad influence, and you know it.
Well, I don't think the child should be deprived of his father.
No, he's too much like me now. For instance, do you know what he did the other day?
What?
He bought ice cream for a little girl.
Well, I don't see anything wrong in that.
Ah, but the girl he bought the ice cream for was not the girl he should have bought it for.
It wasn't?
No.
The little devil.
And when the one little girl found out that the other little girl... Well, that boy certainly got himself into a mess.
Oh, but he didn't do anything really wrong.
But that's what he tried to tell her.
Didn't she believe him?
She did after a while. And, well, now she likes him better than ever before.
She's a very sensible child.
Yes, indeed. But let me tell you, he's a problem.
Oh, he's no problem at all. He just makes up his little stories. You know they're little stories, but he wants you to believe them so badly that you wish you could. And finally, well, what can you do?
Exactly. What can you do? He's just like his father. Happy anniversary, Martha.
Oh, Henry.
It won't hurt to forgive me one more time, will it?
Oh, darling, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. You talk me out of all my principles and convictions. I keep asking myself why I let you do it. And I guess there's only one answer. I'm ashamed to admit it, but I guess I love you.
Frankly, Mr. Van Cleef, we could use a man of your talents down here. You are a most delightful liar.
Why, thank you very much, Satan.
Not at all, not at all. Care for smoke?
Why, yes, I... Oh, no, thanks.
Mind if I light up?
Please do.
Thanks. These devilish new lighters. Since the war, we haven't been able to get the good old lucifers. Now, Here's our problem, Mr. Van Cleve. Huh? You don't quite fit the requirements we've had to make for entrance here.
Really?
We're a little short of room, too. Can't get priorities to build, you see.
Oh, I might be able to help you out with that, Excellency. I know a chap who has a connection with the black market.
Mr. Van Cleve, this really burns me up. You are addressing the man who originated that cute little device. Oh. The boys and I dreamed of not coming home from Black Mass one night.
Uh-huh.
Why, I know a lady in Hollywood who had her tickets and reservations all set. She was going up there, you know.
Yeah.
When she accidentally heard about a pair of nylons.
Yeah.
But let's get back to your problem. As I say, we could use you here if you can just meet our entrance requirements. Think hard now. Think way back and see if you can't come up with something bad. Something really nasty.
Well, I was in the cafe one night, and I almost got into a fight with Errol Flynn.
Child's play, Mr. Van Cleve. Child's play. You see, a few years ago, we would have welcomed you with open ovens. But people have been getting so much more sinful lately that we've had to stiffen up our entrance exams. Why, we had a fellow named Hitler show up the other day, whose crimes were so bad we didn't have a punishment severe enough for him. We had to send him away.
What did you do with him?
Oh, we turned him over to the Russians. Have you thought of anything yet?
Well, would you consider suspicion and jealousy?
Well, yes, if we might, if they were bad enough.
Oh, these were very bad. It happened on our 25th wedding anniversary. We were entertaining quite a crowd of our old friends when I noticed Martha had disappeared from the party. I looked all over the house for her and finally found her in the library. I remember saying to her, "Our silver wedding anniversary and I find you hiding. I've been looking everywhere for you, Martha."
A woman who has lived with you for 25 years deserves a rest, Mr. Van Cleve.
You're feeling all right, aren't you?
Of course, darling. It's been such an exciting evening that I was just...
Just what?
Well, I was sitting here all alone being a little sentimental.
Ah, yeah. The library. This was the room where it all started, wasn't it?
A quarter of a century ago.
You were standing there by the window when I came in.
Mm-hmm. And then you started walking toward me very slowly.
And the closer I came, the more frightened you were.
Henry, I want to make a confession. I wasn't frightened a bit.
You weren't?
No, not a bit. I kept saying to myself, what's the matter with him? Can't he walk any faster?
You're a fraud. A beautiful fraud, and I love you.
Thank you, dear.
Who called you on the phone a while ago?
Oh, no one important.
Who was it?
Jealous?
Of course I'm not jealous. I just want to know whom you talk to and why you're so secretive about it. And another thing. Where have you been these past three afternoons?
You are jealous. At last, after 25 years. Thank you, darling.
Martha, whom did you talk to?
Will you promise not to make a mountain out of a molehole?
I promise.
Well, I've been going to see a doctor, that's all.
A doctor?
Now, don't get excited.
But why did you go to see the doctor?
Henry, you promised.
But what did he say?
Nothing, really.
You've got to tell me. Is it serious?
I tell you, it's nothing at all. It's just a little dizzy spell. Listen, I always like that tune they're playing. Come on, let's dance, hmm?
Martha, I demand to know what the doctor said.
Listen, dear, if I take 5 drops 3 times a day, and if you don't worry too much about me, we'll both live to celebrate our golden anniversary. Now, no more foolishness. Come on, let's dance.
Well, I didn't know it then, Your Satanic Majesty, but that was our last anniversary. It was the last time we danced together. There were only a few more months left for Martha, and she made them the happiest of our lives together.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't die, Mr. Van Cleve. You must have indulged in a few of the deadly sins.
No, I'm afraid not. Well, that's the story of my life, Your Majesty. Now, if you could assign me a room on the cooler side of the house.
No, definitely no, Mr. Van Cleve. We have no place in hell for you. You'll have to make reservations elsewhere.
But there's only one other place to go.
But we have our standards. We cannot accept a demi-sinner.
But they won't accept a demi-angel.
That's your problem. Now, if you'll excuse me.
But you can't send me away. You've got to take me.
I'll ring the elevator for you.
I refuse to go. I stand on my right.
Excuse me.
Hello. This is Old Nick speaking.
Oh, Mr. Van Cleve, just a moment. Here, it's for you.
Thank you. Hello?
Hello, Henry?
Martha!
Henry, you get right out of hell. You hear me?
But, darling...
You heard what I said. It's full of wicked women, and it's no place for you.
I know, but...
You know how susceptible you are, and with all that heat, you know how men like you go all to pieces, even in the tropics.
Martha, will you please listen to me?
I have a lovely apartment picked out for us up here in the annex. It's not very large, and it's not on the sunny side, Henry. But we can make out for a few hundred years.
Martha, I don't care if it's the annex to the annex, and we have to stay there a few hundred thousand years. If it's with you, just wait for me, darling. I'll be right there.
This way, Mr. Van Cleve. Your elevator's waiting.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
Step right in, sir. Express car at all levels. Heavenly heights to hell's hot basement. Going down, sir?
No, son, going up. Straight up to Martha.
Thank you, Walter Pigeon, John Carradine, Arthur Bryan, and Susan Hayward, for your fine performances with the Lady Esther Screen Guild players tonight.
It's a pleasure, Mr. Bradley. We consider our yearly appearance on this program one of the really enjoyable privileges belonging to our profession. We're all familiar with the fine work being done in Hollywood by the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house. And I hope that every listener in our radio audience knows about it, too. I'm sure they'll remember that the work is largely supported by these radio programs. And now, before we tell you about next week's program, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Hayward. Ladies, now you don't need to guess about the shade of face powder you choose. Now you don't need to risk buying a shade that's too yellow for your skin, or too pink, or that has too much orange or brown in it. Such a mistake can be more serious than you may think. For an unflattering shade of powder can add years to your appearance. But there's no such risk, not the slightest risk, when the shade you choose is Lady Esther Bridal Pink. For this new shade is based on an amazing development in color blending. It's intensely flattering to four basic skin types. It dramatizes practically every skin it touches, gives it a lovely, elusive quality that's so young, so feminine. And the texture of Lady Esther face powder is unusual, too. It gives a fascinating, baby-like finish to your skin. It helps to blend out flaws and make little blemishes invisible. It helps erase signs of weariness and fatigue. And it clings softly hour after hour, never letting shiny patches show through. The demand for Lady Esther Bridal Pink has been greater than I dreamed. Your druggist may be sold out of it, and you may have to wait for his next shipment. But do not accept any other color. For remember, no powder shade can give you the happy, radiant look of a woman in love like Lady Esther Bridal Pink.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present First Love. It will star Arthur Treacher, Peter Lawford, and Shirley Temple. Be sure to listen. Walter Pigeon can soon be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture Weekend at the Waldorf. John Carradine can soon be seen in the Benedict Bogeaus production Captain Kidd. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. You save enough on the largest size jar of Lady Esther face cream to buy a box of Lady Esther face powder. So remember, ask for the largest size. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther, saying thank you and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.